Taking a look at your personal computer today, Larry Mueller here. My guest, Peter Green of InfoStar of Madison, he visits with us once a month to help with your personal computer problems. Certainly today we're going to zero in a little bit on improving performance or whether or not we should put off replacement. That's one of the issues. And, of course, we'll be answering your questions when you call in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. And also post on my Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show. And you can post there as well. And Pete, welcome back.
Always great, Larry.
You brought some toys?
Yeah, I brought a little. I've got it listed in the web top 10, but there was an article, let's say about 3 weeks ago in the Wall Street Journal talking about streaming internet. It was a farewell letter to the cable TV services that he had grown up with. And how he now can stream all his content online. And so I decided I've been putting it off. They wanted to check out some of these devices. So I went out and I got one. And one of them, it said it's the size of a hockey puck, Larry. I got to go out and get that. That's got to be the first one on my list. And it really is the size of a hockey puck, but I think it weighs more like about 2.5 ounces instead of 6, so I won't be shooting it. But it's got all the connections you need. Mm-hmm. If you got high speed internet, you hook it up to your TV, HDMI. This one happens to do 1080p, so it's the high end of the spectrum. And if you've got the right HDMI cable, which in this case, this kit supplied that, you get both, the high definition, video output, and you also get, the 5.1 sound. And some of the services are free and some of them you have to pay for. But if you already have a Netflix account, then you can have access to it on your TV. So I'll be exploring more of those. My son loves his PlayStation 3. Other people use Xbox 360. There's a lot of content providers out there. One, I have to remember to link to Amazon. Amazon has their content too. But I try to put them all up there in the web top 10. But it's, that's where things are moving.
Yeah, there you go.
So I've got these performance things that I've been diligently working on, and I'd like to share with people. Some of them, probably a lot of people don't even realize what they have in front of them in terms of, number one, observing where their system is at in terms of performance. And we're talking about a Windows system. I don't really haven't done any measuring on an Apple environment. Haven't really been pressed in a service as much. But in a Windows environment, for whatever reason, they key on their key Windows experience evaluation. Their number is 7.9. That's the high end of the Windows experience. And the way you get to that is you right mouse click on your computer. If you click on start and then right mouse click on computer and then properties, you'll see where your system is. It'll show you right in the middle. It should say Windows experience may say this needs to be reevaluated, but you can click there and you'll see it'll give you the breakdown of where your performance is coming from. They rate the video, the RAM, the CPU, the calculations, the hard drive, and so forth. And some of those things you can play around with, you can tweak in terms of how your system interact with your system. In other words, Windows is set up to be kind of like best appearance and best performance. So it's a mixture, but you could pick one way or the other. But you have to, dive into your operating system in the options to make those changes. And you can do searches online. So I'm just going to point these things out.
Yeah.
So the OS can have a settings where you can change for best performance only. Is there any downside? Some people say, visually it's a little off. It's a matter of opinion. But what are you looking for? If you're looking for a way to beef up performance, then you go for what's best performance. Hard drive space, evaluate where you're at with hard drive space. If you're short on it, Remember, we've talked about this over the years, freeing it up with changing the size of the recycle bin and the restore settings. You can free up a lot of space, almost, 22% of space you can change there. Power saving settings. You know, every time you put your computer to sleep, there's going to be this delay to say, hey, I want to use you, wake up. So, you know, what are your power saving settings at? You know, where do you want them to not be too far out? You want them, you know, where do you want them to be? So evaluate that. Another feature is Ethernet and your network connection. And this depends on whether it's important to you in your house or at your business. But out of the box, the default settings for Windows 7 are not correct, but people use them. So take that
for what it is. Why is that the case?
Larry, I wish I knew the answer.
Why wouldn't they set it?
But there are some things that should be turned off or disabled. And it depends on your network environment, but it requires closer scrutiny from network individuals, you know, the people that are knowledgeable in that field. And they should know this by now, or if they haven't, should be looking into it, is that you can actually tweak your Ethernet network card settings, make changes to those. So those are just some things in the system settings without even looking at adding, you know, buying anything. These are just things that you can research and do yourself. Other things are whether or not to add memory to the computer. And if you want to add memory to the computer, is your OS capable, your operating system capable of taking advantage of it? Well, if you already have, if you have 2 gigs of memory and you're using Windows XP, you might not be able to take advantage of going higher than 2 gigs. But if you have Vista, if you have 2, you could go to 4 in the 32-bit mode. But if you go beyond that and you don't have the 64-bit mode, same thing with Windows 7.
Yeah.
Even if you have 4 and you want to go to 8, going there, unless you have the 64-bit version, is not going to get you anything. So you're putting more money into it, but you're not getting any benefit unless you do a complete overhaul of redoing the system. In some cases, video card does make a difference in being able to use something and performance. Faster Ethernet card. And this is more for like a small business environment. Typically, the most cost-effective solution is to go to up to 1 gigabit of speed. But if you're using a hub, you're more than likely limited at probably at like 100 megabits per second. So you need to invest in a new switch, and how many ports do you need? So those are some things to look at. And then as far as the hard drive, if you're going to replace your hard drive, let's say your hard drive is reaching its life limit, you could look at SSD or solid-state hard drives or solid-state drives, which are a lot faster. Typically, the capacity is lower, but how much do you need to evaluate how much space do you really need? And if you're setting up in a workstation that you want to be fast on a network, then maybe all you need is a smaller SSD drive just to load the OS and some of the basic applications, and then the rest of the work they do on the network. So you don't need a large capacity hard drive, but you can make that Windows experience so much better because things operate a lot faster on the solid state drives.
Lots to consider there and lots to think about. Thanks, Pete. We're going to go to Peter in Stoughton, who has a different kind of question for you. So let's go there. Hi, Peter.
Good morning.
Hi.
I'm running a Windows 7 Home Premium, and I've got this irritating issue that appears with all browsers. If I hover my cursor over a possible link, I have a small banner that pops up in the lower left-hand corner that shows me that link, but it goes a third of the way across the page. Likewise, when I hover my cursor over, say, a reply or a search, another little caption box pops up over that saying the same thing. So, for instance, if I'm on Facebook, I go to put something in a reply box, and this little button pops up that says, write a reply. Or if I go to YouTube and go to the search, another little button pops up above the search box that says, search YouTube, and I'm wondering how I could get rid of those irritating little things floating around.
Is this with, like, Windows Explorer, Internet Explorer?
This is with all browsers.
All browsers.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question. Where can you turn something like that off? Well, do all your browsers have, like, a pop-up blocker enabled on them?
Yes, they do.
Okay. Because that would have been the first thing I would look at. You know, I don't know if that can be turned on or off, if that's, you know, a feature. You said Windows 7, so typically Windows 7 is using the latest version along with your browsers of the web, you know, HTML coding. So I don't know specifically where there would be something to turn that off in the operating system, because typically the browsers are in control of, you know, the visual experience that you see on each web page.
I haven't been able to find that option in any of the browsers.
Right. Either. So unless that's that might be something that could possibly be hard-coded into the new language. And the only way to find an answer to that, to me, would be to try and do a search on, you know, eliminating annoying caption listings on web pages, or try to, you know, just try to decipher that with and reading the answers to the questions, because you might find other people having the same, you know, problem or issue that it's annoying, and saying, well, this is how I got rid of it, or this is how I can, you know, eliminate it.
Somebody may be listening even who's had that issue and might have a piece of advice. So stay listening, Peter. We'll see what you come up with.
I go back and forth with so many different systems that when I see something like that, unless it's a real huge pop-up, you know, shouting me in the face, that's something I, you know, get annoyed with and I'll eliminate off of the bat. But what you're mentioning, I probably just tolerate because I just...
Because it's a big pain to find out where how to get rid of it. Yeah. Well, tell you what, we may have something, Peter, so stay listening. Peter Green of InfoStar Madison, our guest here. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Peter Green, our guest today, as we talk about your personal computer. The lines are filled, but join in at 1-800-642-1234 when you get the chance, or just go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question or a comment there. Steve in Madison up next. Steve, hi. Thank you for calling.
Good morning.
Morning.
This is probably going to be one of the less geeky questions you get today.
Okay.
But
no, it can't be.
I just bought a Toshiba Android tablet, and at this point, I'm just using it at home. I've got a router set up with my computer, and the question is, do I need separate antivirus protection for the tablet as long as I've got the protection for my regular computer?
That's a great question. The Android operating system is a much more open system than the Apple OS for the iPad. And Apple likes to stay in control of their world. The Android platform, one of the shortcomings of it is the fact that because it is more open, there are other security issues to be dealt with. So I can't specifically recommend, you know, a website for you to go to, but I'm sure they're already out there, you know, as far as who has something for your tablet. The key thing is knowing which version of the operating system you have so that, you know, you get one that works for what you have. So usually in the system settings or options or setup of your tablet, there's some area where you can see exactly, it spells out exactly what you have in terms of the model that your tablet is and also the version of the operating system.
Okay.
So get
that. I mean, it's just a precaution, but, and, you know, it's right... They're gaining in popularity, So who knows if they're on somebody's radar screen to start doing stuff with.
No,
but
yeah.
It's annoying that we even have to be concerned with that. But
there it is. Good luck. Thank you, Steve, for calling. Appreciate it. Michelle in Prairie du Sac, on to you. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I was calling because my son just got a laptop at Christmas time, and it was a satellite 750 or L750, and he was working on it, and somebody fell into his screen, so the display no longer worked. So we went on YouTube to see how hard it was to change it out.
Right.
It looks relatively easy.
Mm-hmm.
Question is, one, do we need special tools? Is it a special screwdriver in order to get that out other than magnetize? And then two, where do you even go to purchase that part?
Okay. The first thing is you don't want to use magnetized or they've got to be very, very lightly magnetized around your computer because you can have an effect on the screen and you can have an effect on the hard drive as well. In fact, if you have a strong enough magnet near a hard drive, you can make it inoperable because it'll just do enough damage to it that you won't be able to use it. Typically, you need what's called a Torx, T-O-R-X, screwdriver, and they're usually fairly small in size. So you have to be really careful, and you have to pay attention to the fact that you need to turn things counterclockwise. Okay, because you can easily strip them, and if you strip them, then you're going to have a heck of a time trying to get them out because a lot of things are made with plastic and a little bit of a metal seating piece, you know, to allow the screwdriver to make its, you know, connection and secure whatever you're attaching. So with that said...
Lefty-loosey.
Yeah, yep. So just pay attention to that. You know, you got to be really careful about stripping them. Where can you get those? You can order them online as part of a kit. You could probably find them at some of your local hardware shops. You have to, you know, make sure you're getting the right, you know, look at the size. They usually have some gauge where you can measure it. They might even tell you, if you do some research online, what size it requires. And here's the next thing. On eBay, there are a lot of suppliers that will sell you the screens. Some of them are domestic and some of them are international. What do I mean international? They might come from Taiwan, China, Korea, wherever. So you may have to allow some extra time. Usually, I would say, you know, 10 days to 2 weeks from the date of purchase. But they may also include instructions that you need to follow, and they may even have the details that you need, and they may even supply the screwdriver. Sometimes those kind of kits do include that. So I would do my research first there. You could go to the Toshiba site and probably get a breakdown on repairing, you know, getting some detail from them as far as the repair kit or the parts that you need to look up make sure you got the right part number, or if you can see the part number on the display, or, you know, somehow get a breakdown of exactly the part number that you need, that display for the laptop, and then go on eBay and put that part number in and see what you come up with.
Okay.
And then go from there as far as whether or not you need to acquire mm-hmm. the tool. Or you can also email them or message them through eBay and say, you know, what kind of tools do I need in order to do this if they don't have it. But I would go through all of them because some of them, not all of them share information equally, okay? And some of them provide that information to you freely and some of them want you to pry it out of them.
Okay.
So, all right. So good luck.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for calling.
And one other thing, you can also hook up an external monitor so you can still see, you know, you can still use the computer. And I'm sure they've probably discovered that. But a laptop has a port for an external monitor.
There you go. Dennis in Appleton, your turn. Hi, Dennis.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling.
I've got a 64-bit Windows 7. I've been having trouble once in a while with my USB ports where sometimes the USB drive are not recognized. So I've cleaned the system a few times, and iTunes didn't work for a while, and then all of a sudden, after about a year, I finally could download again, and it worked. But it's kind of frustrating sometimes when I use some of the flash drives where they won't be recognized, and I'm not sure what I need to do to try to fix this bugger.
Have you tried Microsoft's Fix-It site?
I did go there. Uh-huh. I did go there about 6 months ago, and I went through it. I tried going through Microsoft because I have a Windows 7 Professional, but
mm-hmm.
it didn't seem to help it. And then I end up buying one of the devices. I forgot what I'm thinking what it's called now. One of the programs to clean the system. And that seems to help a lot, because now I can get back to iTunes. iTunes works again.
Mm-hmm.
And when I plug in my iPod or iTouch, it'll charge, but it's not recognized. If I plug in some of the SanDisks I have, they'll register on an XP. But when I plug it into mine, it doesn't recognize. I'm not sure where do I start?
There's another thing that I would try other than the Microsoft Fix-It site. There's instructions online for doing a Windows 7 repair.
Okay.
And sometimes that helps. And what it does, there's also a file checker out there. Some of these things you do so often, you try to visualize exactly what the command line is. But you can, if you do a search online for Windows 7 file checker or file repair.
Okay.
What it basically does is it goes onto your system and looks and see what doesn't exactly match up with what Windows 7 wants to see, and will make replacements to basically try and repair what it thinks is broken.
Okay.
So that's an operating system repair that you can do. And there are a number of different sites online that not only discuss it and detail it, but also Microsoft has their own information out there about how to do it as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. I just plugged in one of the flash drives that I had, mm-hmm. and I got a laptop, and it's registering there fine. When I plug it into mine, it doesn't want to do it. And it's a little frustrating sometimes. Too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got fairly large system, but it's I don't know why it's doing it. So, but I'll try those. I'll try the file checker and the file repair and see if that'll help.
See what happens. Okay. Good luck. Thank
Good
you.
Luck.
Thanks a lot for calling, Phil in Hebron, Illinois. On to you. Hi.
Good morning, you guys.
Morning.
Peter, site sent my way. I look at a lot of websites in Chinese, Japanese, Russian, French, German. Dealing with plant material, fellows are trying to sell me and stuff I'm trying to sell them. Happy Google always pops up and goes, you want me to translate this, right?
Right.
I've tried some other translators, too. I can't get one to work. You got one you like?
So you actually want to translate the pages to English from the different languages?
Yeah, if they send you might receive an email, perhaps, in Japanese.
Yeah.
He's trying to find, or web pages, I think
right.
It was the web pages.
There are probably programs out there that do that, that would be add-ons or plugins to the browser, whichever browser
yeah,
you're using.
He has somebody, so, they haven't worked very well, apparently.
Yeah.
We lost him, so
yeah.
I'm not sure what.
But the way I would go about doing it is I'd probably look on a site like CNET or PCGuide.com. Do a search for web page translators within their system to see if there's software that can do that. Because here's another thing that occasionally we talk about, but it's not a secret, but basically when you interact with a website, your page, that page that you're seeing is actually downloaded to your hard drive. So, in essence, you can actually save web pages to your hard drive
mm-hmm.
knowing where they are. And then there might be some software that you can install in your system. and then point it to that directory or folder to help you translate those pages. So there may be dynamic translation, which is as you're interacting with the website,
right,
and then there'll be ones that you can translate where they're static. You've already downloaded them, and now you're just reviewing them over a period of time. Because that would actually be handy where you could be traveling but not hooked up.
Right.
And still going through and translating content.
Yeah. Yeah, makes sense.
So I'm sure there's something out there. You just have to look for it. Where I would go to, you know, the CNET is a great tech site that has download products that you can try, and they all people review them as well.
Teresa in Heartland, on to you now. Hi, Teresa.
Hello.
Hi.
My daughter got her own computer now, and since I got rid of my other one because it was a Windows XP, and I'm looking to buy a new computer. I want to buy something that's very reasonable. And I know there's cheaper and more expensive ones out there, and I don't need something really elaborate because I don't do downloading music or any of that kind of stuff.
What do you do with it?
Well, I do a lot of my paperwork on it, and now that she's got the internet, I've been using the internet. I do some of my business with our. Rug weaving we're doing. Just
a little accounting in there, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So a little accounting, going online, searching the web, probably emailing.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And I maybe look at pictures and download pictures from my daughter.
Okay.
So do you want a laptop or a desktop?
Laptop.
Okay. Well, you could probably get by with ones that are... I would probably say between the $400 to $600 range, you're probably looking at a 15-inch display.
Yeah, a little bigger screen because I got low vision and I'm a little bit older.
Yep. The other thing that you might want to consider is you could get an external monitor to add on to the laptop.
A what monitor?
Another monitor, for a desktop.
Oh, I do have a monitor for my old computer.
Okay.
That I can put on the desktop that I hook it to. But I'm having troubles with that because when I plugged it into hers, the connection isn't really good or something, and it won't show the true color or it's not working exactly right unless the connector is bad.
Okay. Well, aside from that, when you bump up to a 17-inch display on a laptop, that adds some cost to it. But as far as processing speed, looking at something like an iCore or an i3, there are some AMD processors out there. I usually look at a chart in terms of price and performance, but you're probably going to get your best performance if you find a system that has 4 gigs of memory.
Mm-hmm.
And I would probably say, at a minimum, probably in the 300 gigabyte range for a hard drive for storage. The performance comes into play when you start adding or looking at different video cards that are in the laptop, when you have a different size hard drive or if it's a high speed or high spin hard drive, those are things that start adding costs to them. The other issue is the tsunamis that they had, the monsoons in Thailand have affected the hard drive supply. So that's what's kept some of the pricing on desktops and laptops kind of, to me, elevated in terms of pricing because the hard drives have become a little bit more at a premium because those plants or manufacturers had a lot of their eggs in their basket in Thailand, and a lot of them got flooded and the parts supply got affected.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do increase the... increase the size of the words in that too, where I can read it bigger font or bigger size, and I use that just for the for low vision.
Mm-hmm.
And
It's a great feature, isn't it?
Pardon me?
It's a great feature, isn't it?
It
to be
is.
Able to do that, yeah.
But I have more trouble with the magnifier because I've got tunnel vision, and I have trouble losing where I'm at.
Yeah.
So it's better just to enlarge the print size.
Yeah.
And so, it makes it so much easier to read.
So, in terms of brands, probably the best bang for the buck is probably an Acer. At least feedback that I've gotten from people and my personal experience over the years, they're a solid brand. They've been around for a long time.
Where do you get that?
You can look online. There are places that I bought online, buy.com, Tiger or Tiger Direct. They usually have specials. You just have to be patient. You can sign up at either site, and they'll email you daily, what they're putting out there. You can also just go to their sites and look on clearance or weekly specials or daily specials. They're always doing something. And then locally, if you're in Madison or, nearby, you can, look at places like Office Depot, Staples, Office Max, Best Buy, all the retailers.
Mm-hmm. Reasonable.
They're reasonable. They typically also put, their products on specials each week. And I know some of them even match the others. So if they have the same unit in the store that someone else is selling on a special, and the special runs out at one place, and you go to the other place and say, "Will you match this?" They'll typically will match that price if you ask them. They won't if you don't.
Yeah, you have to ask. So good luck.
And I know my daughter had gotten a Windows 7. She was having some troubles with it, but she's gotten some of it straightened out. And
good.
And I don't know if there's. So it would be a Windows 7 that I would be.
I would probably, a Windows 7 laptop, the price point on Apple products typically starts at about $1,000, and I think, what is it, the MacBook Air?
Yeah,
is in
I don't think I would need an Apple.
Well, I'm just stating some specifications and pricing so you understand that the Apple product usually, the laptops, they're more expensive. They start about $1,000. By the time you get to the 17-inch version, I think you're pushing somewhere close to $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure it's somewhere in that.
Of course, you're never going to have any problems with it, but.
Larry, I wouldn't say that.
I don't know.
My daughter called last night, and she said, "Dad, thank God I backed up my hard drive because I think the Apple hard drive just died." So they're all appliances, Larry, and they all have problems.
My daughter had an Apple. She had a lot of problems with it, and then she gave it up and got the Windows 7.
Larry, two people I know in the whole world.
You could be driving a Silverado, which looked like it was, surviving the nuclear holocaust or the end of the world, on the advertisement, or you could be driving a Tacoma or a Tundra or, an Explorer, whatever it might be. They're all finite. They all have finite lives.
Yeah,
they all have their
right.
own issues.
You're absolutely right.
Teresa, with Windows 7, with a 17-inch, or if I got tunnel vision, am I better off just getting the 15-inch? Because I'm not going to see the whole screen at once anyway.
Well, you know what I would do? I would just I would go to the places and just test drive them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't just test drive them one day. I would probably. Sample it at different times of the day and maybe do it three times. So do it in the morning, do it early afternoon, and do it or mid-afternoon, and do it in the evening to see how your body reacts to it in different times, when you're getting going, when you're already there, and then when you're kind of winding down, and see how you feel about it. Just test drive. Just look, they have them out there on display.
Well, her screen had such a big keyboard on it that I couldn't get close enough to the screen to see it very good, and there was so much glare for me. But after I had my cataract surgery, I had membrane, and I had another surgery, and now that cleared some of it up.
Well, here's the other thing. Don't be afraid to not add things like what I use is my inexpensive solution is I use a shoebox stand that people typically put in their closet, and I know you can buy them at the places like probably Farm and Fleet, Menards, and Lowe's, and stuff like that. But it's just a platform for putting shoes on, and you can invert it so it can become a stand for not only your monitor, if you hook up an external monitor or laptop, mm-hmm. but it also can be a place where you put the laptop and elevate it off of the desk, and then you hook up an external keyboard to it. So now you've got the monitor more at your eye vision, you know, at your eye yeah. level, so you're not leaning over. You're looking mm-hmm. directly at it right in front of you. And then the keyboard can be plugged into a USB port, and you can pull that out and have it close to your hands.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, little things like that make it more comfortable to use your laptop because you've now expanded it. You've, you know, freed mm-hmm. it from being so compact. But at the same time, when you need to take it with you.
Well, I've got a big flat desk that I'm using.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of space.
Mm-hmm.
But then I've got the trouble where I have to have my face pretty close to the screen to read it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I've got distance vision is very poor, and I got vision out of one eye.
Mm.
And it takes a little bit of working to see the screen without having the glare, too.
Yeah. Well, good luck.
Yeah, good luck in your journey, because that's what it's going to be.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Peter Green of InfoStar of Madison, our personal computer consultant here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you along here on the Ideas Net as we talk computers with Peter Green. And a Facebook question from Judy, who's having trouble with her laptop getting onto the internet. She says, I have Charter and I get onto it with my PC unit. We just used the internet on my laptop yesterday. Could this be a virus or what? So she's having trouble with the laptop getting onto the internet. She has Charter. Get onto it with our PC unit.
Well, there's a couple of things I usually look at. One is the wireless setting. Trying to troubleshoot these things can be a little bit of a chase because you need to, number one, confirm that it's working with other devices. That's the interesting part I always look at when this Roku unit, you know, if you're having problems hooking up, they're like, you know, check and see if you're experiencing the same thing with other devices. So one thing is understanding the setup of the wireless, if that's how the laptop is being plugged in, or if it's hardwired into the router, there's, you know, an issue with the port, switch the port. You can't really switch the port on the laptop, so then you would have to get another, like a USB network connection to try and, you know, use it that way. But if it's wireless, you know, how is the wireless set up, you know, with the SSID being broadcast, the encryption, did you save the password, you know, when you connected via the wireless on the laptop? If you installed anything, sometimes installing or downloading something runs interference. So in that case, I've successfully gone to using the restore on the laptop and bring it back to the prior state, and then it works.
Hmm.
So I've seen downloads actually flip an internal switch in the operating system to prevent it from running on the internet. So that's another thing to look at. So, you know, those are your options to, you know, try and resolve that.
And
one more, you could call Charter and talk to them.
Yeah. Michael put a post up on our Facebook page at Amazon.com, laptop screen replacement. That goes back to an mm-hmm. earlier
yep.
Discussion.
Yep.
And then an email from Tom. And Juana Key wondering if you could address the changes that Google is going to implement or has implemented regarding tracking of one's search activity on the internet.
Well, you know, they one of their key selling points to their investors is the fact that they keep tabs on all this data, on all this searching, because they sell words at a premium to people that want to buy advertising. So, you know, it's their rules. And,
yeah.
You know, what say do we have? You know, yeah. They're in control. Now, if you're a government like China, you know, and you make Chinese government angry, they're going to say we're going to shut you down and you can't operate in our country. We live by, you know, freedom of speech and all these different amendments and mm-hmm. so forth. And, you know, the test of time is, you know, eventually if they do something that makes enough people angry, there'll be a movement to get it to change, or somehow it gets regulated. But until that time, they can tell us what they're doing, which is nice, or they may not have to tell us what they're doing, which is not nice.
Yeah.
So, but the only way things will change is if there's a movement to change them in one direction or another. And you know for sure that Google is going to be changing things to their benefit, because their bottom line is with their investors. You know, if you look at their stock, and they need to make sure that they're able to sell their products, which in most cases is advertising.
A couple more comments, email related comments from Irene from Monona suggests this is for if you're going to translate Japanese or Chinese mm-hmm. or different languages. She suggests the online Babel Fish translator site, so B-A-B-E-L.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that. Yep. Yeah. It's been out for a long time.
She said you can either cut and paste text or type it in and choose the language you want to translate it into, and it'll do it.
Yeah, I remember that years ago. That's been around for a long time, so they've probably polished themselves pretty good.
Yeah. And then on the charter connectivity issue, a caller from Madison said that when he's had similar problems to our earlier caller, he found Charter to be very helpful in talking him through the troubleshooting over the phone. So he said, try Charter's customer service, because he's had really good luck with it.
Mm-hmm.
So why not? Melissa in Stevens Point, it's your turn. Hi, Melissa.
Hi. Well, hi. I seem to have the opposite problem of Judy, in that our devices can connect wirelessly, but our desktop computer doesn't connect regularly. We can be using it, browsing the internet, and then suddenly we can't get any internet connectivity through our desktop. But at the same time, if we go to another device like our Roku or iPod or something like that, it can connect wirelessly. So we have switched out modems a number of times, and it doesn't seem to make a difference. We've talked to tech support, and they've suggested everything from a virus to upgrading to Windows Professional, which we're not really a heavy duty user. We just want to look at Facebook on our desktop every so often.
So what?
So I was wondering if you had any ideas about that.
What operating system are you running on your Windows desktop?
Windows 7.
Windows 7.
Yeah, it's a fairly new computer.
Okay.
Less than a year old.
Okay. So you're hardwired to a router, is that correct?
Yes. It's a combination router modem.
Okay. So have you changed the port on it, you know, to move? Have they asked you to, like, just move the cable that's plugged into the router modem to move it to another port to see if that makes a difference?
I don't know if they've done that. When they've switched it out a number of times, you know, that would change the modem.
So they've actually changed the router modem a few times for you.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. But they didn't do anything with the computer.
No.
Yeah. See, what I would probably do is I've had network adapters fail on mm-hmm. on new machines.
Okay.
So what you can do is you can either get they sell gigabit Ethernet cards, and you probably don't need one that fast, but they're fairly inexpensive. They might be in the range of let's say, $15, $20 for a new network card.
Okay.
So you could plug that in, or you could get a USB network adapter and plug that into a USB port and make that your primary Ethernet port and, you know, plug in your cable or your network cable that was going to your desktop and the one that's in it now into that new port to basically bypass it and see if the desktop stays more consistently online. Because it sounds like it's flaking out, and the only thing that hasn't been looked at in terms of replacing different parts of what you're doing is the desktop itself because it's fairly new, but it doesn't mean that it can't fail or be flaky.
Okay. Yep. There you go.
So you could either take it back and, you know, say here needs a new, we're having problems and we've ruled out everything else and it's got to be the network adapter, or you just get a USB adapter, which could be used with another device as well, because if you plug it in by the USB port, it, you know, you could potentially swap it for another system down the road too.
There you go. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. And Nancy in Oshkosh, your turn. Hi, Nance.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a situation where I have a Pavilion laptop it's only about a year old, and I've never had a problem with it. But all at once, when I try to log in, I get Windows boots up, but then I can't get into my account. It says the user profile service failed to log on. The user profile cannot be loaded. And I can get in on my desktop. I use the phones and, you know, whatever off the wireless. But this problem I'm having, and so when I did some work on the internet just as on my laptop, and it's telling me to boot up in safe mode, but I can't get my Windows 7 to boot up in safe mode.
When you say you can't get it to boot up in safe mode, do you, when you're, if you have it shut off and you turn it on, does it come up and say, you know, which way do you want to go, and safe mode is an option?
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
Let's see. The only thing I can do to get anything, like if I press F8
right.
Constantly, mm-hmm. it just continues to come in, you know, load up with the colored Windows icon and such. Or I read somewhere if you just push F8 down and hold it, but that doesn't work either. The only thing is after you log on, there's this small time frame in which you can press escape. So I do that, but then I get, you know, that is not an option, and it's not, and it doesn't say safe mode. It comes up with, I think,
right.
four different options.
Okay. Well, hitting the F8 key is a timing thing. So from, you know, having it shut off and then you turn it on, holding it down, what I found, holding it down does not work because it's almost like a signal to stop interacting with the keyboard. But it's a timing issue, and you just, what I do is I hit F8 successively after it's boot up, and it goes through what's called a posting where it shows you some hardware connections or firmware information. So you might see some lines of information. And then right after that, I successively hit the F8 key maybe probably 10 times. And that's, and by feel, you know it's right before it says starting Windows. And that's when it should prompt you for, you know, the safe mode, to get into the safe mode.
The
so
only
it's
thing
a choice.
That comes up on my screen is the escape, press escape in the lower left-hand corner. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I don't believe I get anything on my computer until I see starting Windows.
Yeah, you need to do the F8 before that starting Windows part happens.
Okay, well, I'll try that again.
Yeah, I think the escape thing
that you're seeing is probably referring to getting into the BIOS of the computer, and you probably don't want to do that because you can inadvertently make changes to it that things won't start up at all. But the Windows user profile that it's having a problem with that. I've corrected those, and if it's corrupt enough, you can actually rescue it, but it's a technical issue to deal with. It's not something that is a simple change. So, you know, hopefully if you go through the safe mode and then get it up to the safe mode desktop and then do a shutdown and reboot, that, you know, hopefully it'll come back to the way it was before.
Mm-hmm. Good luck. Thank you very much for calling. Quick note for visually impaired users. Mark in La Crosse says most laptops have an HDMI connection. Means you could connect to most TVs, and that allows you to have a huge monitor, television monitor, which can be more effective than other ways to magnify the screen. Peter Green, our guest, he'll be with us right up until 12:30 today here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Taking a look at your personal computer today with Peter Green of InfoStar of Madison, our personal computer consultant. Great to have him along. Thank you so much for listening in. Pete, this time of the program, we usually take a look at your top 10 list of things that you've found, discovered that we need to know about.
Yep. If you go to InfoStar.com, click on Current Top 10, and I have to apologize. I got to change the date at the top of the page, but it is really for today. or you go to the Top 10 Archives and scroll down to today's date and click that. They're all there. This first one, actually, it's a pretty neat free web browser, and it's designed for computers that are connected to TVs. It's called Kylo, Kylo.tv, and it just makes the browsing experience on a TV just easier to enjoy.
Hmm.
It's actually pretty impressive just even putting it on a computer itself and watching it on a computer monitor. The next one, and we talked about this earlier in the program, I brought one in, but if you go to Roku.com, it's a device with no monthly fee, but there are content that you need to pay for that streams, such as Netflix or Hulu Plus. But you can basically hook it up, and there are other devices out there as well, Apple TV, Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, and then some of the content providers I link to up there so you can see what's going on. But basically, you can stream content over the internet. There's plenty of stuff out there. Bring it into your TV. And, you know, that's, mm-hmm. I think even someone called in and said, we've got this, and we have a Roku. And
yep.
So they're gaining in popularity. The next one, similar device, but I had to put it out there as well as another link, Boxe, BOXEE.TV. It's another box, but it's much larger. It's not the size of a hockey puck. It's more like I didn't personally see one, but I'm guessing it's probably it's probably like a Kleenex box.
Okay.
You know, the one that
yep.
you put on a counter, not the flat one, but the
yep.
box. It looks like that. Another device to do that. Number four is Atotech, AttoTech.com, and it's basically a storage solution for data-intensive computing environments, in other words, high-performance storage or hard drives,
mm-hmm.
but really like solid-state drives and things like that. But what's nice is they provide a disk benchmark tool to show you and test the performance of what you've got. So if you want to see how well your drive is performing, you can download this free tool, and I put the link up there for you. The next one, if you're looking for office equipment and you want to see what the industry thinks about it and, you know, how it stacks up against other products, there's a site called BERTL.com, and it stands for Business Equipment Research and Test Laboratories, and they do a lot of independent testing of equipment. Number six is called ShopWiki. And they claim access to 162,000 stores and over 244 million products for internet shopping. And if you happen to have an online store, you can sign up and have your site crawled and searched by them and included in that list. And I list Frugal as another Google search mm-hmm. tool for doing the same thing. Number seven is myfixituplife.com, and it's a do-it-yourself resource for, you know, home improvement. Number eight is Medical News Today, and what they do is they gather health news from a lot of reputable sources, and they also publish their own articles, and they have an archive that contains about 230,000+ news articles as related to medical. Number nine, API.org is the American Petroleum Institute. And I don't know if you've watched any of these latest news shows. 60 Minutes has done a number on them. But they're talking about the oil sands.
Yes.
Phenomenal stuff going on up in, you know, northern Canada where it's really cold, and they got this sand that's filled with oil, and they're just going crazy over it. But if you want to learn about that and some other things and where we're at with, you know, the different natural resources, that's a great site to check that out. And number 10, if you do remote support via the internet, or if you just want to remotely access one of your computers, there's a product called copilot.com to use.
There you go. And all those, of course, are up on your at your page.
Yep.
At infostar.com. We have Steve in Witter, Wisconsin, up with a question for you. Let's go there. Steve, hi.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi.
I'm new to this diagnosing computer problems thing ever since my youngest son went to college. But here's what's happening. I've got an older Dell with an Windows XP professional system running on it. And what I found out is that it slows down. So unbeknownst to me, I just kept looking on for free spyware and kept adding it and adding it. And I don't know if that helped or not, but it seems like things got slower. Well, then I eventually went to Dell support, and I found out you don't want, you know, a zillion of spyware systems going at the same time. So I think I removed some of them, but it's still slow.
Mm-hmm.
And then also through Dell support, I found they could do the pre-boot diagnostic.
Mm-hmm.
And I came back with some codes or descriptions that I can't find anywhere for them telling me what's going on with it. And I guess this all leads to the point because I use the computer basically for checking up a couple of newspaper sites and some forums and stuff like that. And I found out on one of my favorite newspaper sites, I could get to the homepage site okay. But let's say I want to start flipping through some pages. When I, you know, press on a particular page, it'll start moving towards that page and boom, freeze. And I've been noticing this more and more, not only with my newspaper sites, but also other sites. But so the big problem is freezing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then I've got to hit the Control Alt Delete, and I'm doing that continuously. So, any ideas what I could do?
Okay, yeah. What I would do is number one, I would go into System Tools, and hopefully you have System Restore turned on. And you can create a new restore point, but if you don't, you can go into System. So you click on Start, click on Programs, click on Accessories, and then System Tools, and you'll find System Restore. You can create a restore point or turn it on there and create one. After doing that, I would probably download a program called CCleaner, and I would run that to both clean up all of the application and temporary files that you don't need on your system, because you want to clean it so that you don't have any loose ends hanging, and it will take much longer to defrag a hard drive if you have a lot of excess files on it. So if you do a search on CCleaner, it's from a company called Piriforms, and it's CCLEANER, and it's a free download. If you read it carefully, you can download it for free. If at some point in time you feel you want to make a donation, they've got a link there, but you can download it free off of their site or File Hippo. If you don't want anything extra baggage, I think sometimes they ask if you want to download Google Chrome or something, but you don't have to. But when you install it, it will both clean up all those excess files, and then after you do that, then what you want to do is run the registry cleaner and have it go through and clean that or see what it finds as conflicts, because you'll probably find a lot of them. I wouldn't be surprised if you found in excess of 100 of them based on what you told me that you've been trying to do. And then the first time I usually save that file, and you could save it to a thumb drive or save it to a disk or wherever you want, but save it, and that'll back up the registry, and then fix the errors. And then you might have to run it another two times before you get it so it's error-free.
Really?
Yep. And then once that's done, you can probably... I don't know if I'd probably reboot it then. The next thing to do is go into msconfig. So you type in, click on start, and then click on run, and then type in msconfig, and hit the enter, and then go to the startup tab, and there's probably a number of different things in there that you want to shut off, but basically, anything that's launching in that lower right corner of your system is using up valuable CPU and system resources. So if you're using like a printer, you don't need to be referring to the HP printer or Lexmark or whoever in that startup. When you go to use it, it'll be there, trust me. If you're doing something with pictures... if you're doing something with QuickBooks, unless you use the reminder feature, you can turn a lot of these things off. So write down the list of what's checked off and then uncheck them and see, you know, what you're missing. And if you need to, you can always go back and recheck it.
Mm-hmm.
And once you do that, it's going to ask you if you want to restart. You could probably do the restart at that time. And then after you restart it and you bring your computer up, you probably want to check and see if you should be running a disk fragmentation. So click on start, click on programs and accessories, system tools, and disk defragmenter, and then run that. And after you run that, then I would shut it down and bring it up one more time, and then shut it down again, bring it up the second time. And if everything looks good, I would then go and create another restore point so you have it, you know, so you can go back to that one if you ever need to.
And this is great advice for anybody with an older computer, I think. And once, I mean, we have an email from Dean, for example. What can I do to kind of maybe speed up my 6-year-old computer? Well, what you're talking about here is exactly what...
And the other thing is if you don't know where you're at with hard drive space, you know, we talked about resizing the recycle bin. Yeah. A lot of people, you know, still need to do that, where you right mouse click on the recycle bin, click on properties, and then downsize that from 10% to 1%. Because the operating system is just allocating all this space to itself that you don't really need to have it that way. And System Restore uses 12% of your hard drive space. So if you've got, you know, a 500 gig drive and 10% is, you just do the math.
Yep.
It's using that kind of space. So System Restore can also be configured to take up less room. And, you know, a lot of these, if you go on a lot of web pages that have graphics or picture files, remember I said these pages are downloaded onto your computer and they occupy space. So it all adds up. And if you don't do some housekeeping where you remove the temporary files and then, you know, let's say you don't remove them, you go to do a disk defragmentation. You're spinning a lot of hard drive wheels to try and just reshuffle garbage.
Yeah.
You know, it really is garbage that it's just moving around to try and become more efficient, so it takes that much longer.
We had a Facebook question from Nicholas wondering if you can please talk about the difference between a laptop and a netbook.
Laptop and a netbook. Yep. A laptop and a notebook and a portable would really be to me in a class of, I would say, 14 is almost the borderline number. 14 and a half, maybe. 14 would be kind of like a netbook on steroids to me. But typically a netbook is a much smaller, energy efficient, portable computer, typically in the range of 10 to 12 inch screen. That's why I say like 14 is kind of like, you know, almost pushing. I don't even know if I would put, you know, a 14 inch screen in a netbook class. But usually memory wise, you know, they used to come with like, you know, 1 gig of memory and a Windows starter. You can upgrade the OS on them, whether or not that really gets you anything, you know. But they usually come with these starter OSs, which is just enough to run what you need. They can be expanded 2 gigs. The newer ones are probably now more at the standard with 2 and can be expanded to 4 gigs of memory. Hard drives, usually I'd say 100 gig, 180, 200, 250, and some of them may even come with solid state drives. They're typically very quiet, small footprint, very light, battery life, you know, 8-10 hours that they rate them. I don't know if you get that. You know, the MacBook Air is almost pushing, almost like a premium version of a netbook. You know, it's almost like, you know, that'd be the holy grail kind of thing to me.
Yeah.
Of a netbook class, portable computer. But when I hear laptop or notebook or portable, I think more of like the typical bigger 5-6 pound computer.
So it's a size thing
that can replace a desktop. A netbook is typically used for travel. So like when I took my kids to Greece last year, we had an iPad and we had a netbook. And they're like, "Dad, why are you bringing this technology?" And I said, "Trust me, we're going to want to preview the pictures. And if we got Wi-Fi and we don't have English TV, maybe we want to stream some shows." So we ended up watching South Park, and we had a great time.
There you go.
We all agreed we could watch South Park together.
Oh, man. Gary in Winona, Minnesota, you are up. Hi.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, I got a older HPOS Pavilion. It's a Windows XP. And when I go to go on the internet, I go to have Google as my homepage, and then I'll try to surf somewhere, and I'll click on something to get somewhere, and then I get this tab has been recovered stuff going on. And it'll go back a page, you know, and what's with that? You ever heard of that?
So this tab has been recovered. Your system crashed?
No. What do you mean the system?
Well, you know, have you had it where the browser has crashed or something? You know, like just inadvertently exited or, you know, shut down on you?
Oh, it does all kinds of weird stuff to me. It's an old computer.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like an old friend, you know. It's like your first car. You hate to get rid of it.
Yeah.
And I use it for, I use Windows Explorer. I use it for designing stuff. And I'm used to the programs that I use for designing. So am I just relegated to the fact that I can't go on the internet with this thing anymore, and all it's good for is what I use it for?
So
designing.
So when you say you use, are you using Internet Explorer to get online?
Click on Internet Explorer, but yep. Google is my
homepage.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, whenever you do a search, what happens next? Or if you, you know, launch to another page?
If I launch to another page, a lot of times it'll, up in the corner, the upper left corner where you get that connecting deal going on,
yep.
it'll say, "This tab has been recovered." And then you go back a page.
All right. What I would do is, you know, if you were listening to the prior call in terms of cleaning up the system, your system, yeah. You know, that's something. I mean, he had Windows XP as well, so you could do the same thing, you know, in terms of, you know, doing some cleanup, housekeeping on the files on your system. Something that also precipitates problems is if you have a problem and you keep bumping up to the same thing, it's almost like a domino effect, and it can start affecting how other things perform on the computer. And that's where things start getting slower, because it's almost like they're all lining up to say, hey, I got a problem, I got an issue with how things are happening. So they all start lining up and saying, hey, we're really having a problem. Fix me. So, you know, what I mentioned earlier with the other caller is the way you can go about fixing that. But the other thing I would do is I would download, after you did some of the housekeeping, is download either Google Chrome or Firefox or Mozilla, and use another browser and see if you're having the same problem. But
We actually downloaded Firefox.
Okay.
On the computer.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't like to play with some of the other things I have on here.
Okay.
Because I, instead of regular email server, I have IncrediMail.
Okay.
Which you've probably heard of. And it doesn't like to play with IncrediMail, and it doesn't like to play with... I have ESET security,
mm-hmm.
which is basically a business security for the computer, and it doesn't like to play with ESET either.
Well, I would try Google Chrome is pretty streamlined and see how that works too. But I would follow what I mentioned earlier about in terms of doing maintenance and clean up on your system, see if that helps, because there might be some things that are just lingering that have to be removed.
There you go. Good luck, Gary. Cindy, have you got a quick question for us?
I have a laptop computer,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not very good with computers, so... And I typed up my resume in My Documents.
Okay.
And when I go on online job application form, they ask to copy and paste your resume.
Okay.
They're not getting it, my resume. What am I doing wrong?
Okay. Number one is you need to be absolutely sure you know where it is on your system so you can, you know, point
okay.
to it.
Mm-hmm.
And typically when you're logged into their system, they usually have you browse your computer to find that file.
Yes.
Now, the only other reason that that file may not be working to get into their system is, are they saying the file's just not getting there?
No, it's not my resume. It's
okay.
just a bunch of words and numbers.
Okay. Oh, what you may want to do is, you know, there's all these different versions of how to compose things, but you need to be compatible with what they're saying to use. Do they say use Microsoft Word and you're using Microsoft Word?
Oh.
Or, you know, how did they say your resume needs to be composed? You know, what media or what format? Because that's the key thing. You need to be in a format that they can accept.
And so you might need to look into that a little bit more, Cindy. I wish we had more time. But
usually
we
their
time.
Tech support will help you because it's in their benefit
sure.
to have you post your resume. So, you know,
I would
contact
support.
Them and, you know, make sure all the steps are outlined properly and you're clear and understand what, you know, exactly what they need.
And good luck. And Pete, thank you so much.
Always great, Larry. Thank you.
Peter Green of InfoStar of Madison, he'll be back in a month. Stay with us.